Holy Spirit. Let's go back and let's revisit 2 Corinthians 13 and 14 and our second foundation scripture, which is in 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. The reason why I always consistently revisit these scriptures is because somebody might be in the service that didn't catch the previous teachings. Amen. And we want to make sure that every person can benefit from it. Amen. If you haven't been here, we challenge you to get the CDs. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, get the CDs. This is a very powerful teaching here. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor. How many people did he say? He said all. Amen. Every person in this room, every person on planet Earth has the ability to function under the grace of God, to live with the total love of God, and to operate in the communion of the Holy Ghost. The word communion is the Greek word koinonia again, and it means the partnership, the fellowship, or the intimate friendship or participation with the Holy Spirit. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you are a partner together with God. Now, this is very powerful right here, because I know we've been talking about this for a month now, but you need to understand, because tonight we're going to be talking about a different function of the Holy Spirit than what we've been talking about thus far. But you need to understand that you are not by yourself. Come on, say that. Say, I am not by myself. I am not alone. Now, in Genesis, God made a man in his image and in his likeness. Amen. When he made that man, God took and said, it's not good that that man be alone. So he made him a helpmeet, one who was suitable, adaptable, compatible for him, to help him fulfill his God-given assignment. Amen. Well, Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that the marriage relationship, somebody say marriage relationship, is a type and shadow of Jesus' relationship with his church. Now, when Jesus was on planet Earth, he was the comforter for those who he was discipling. And when Jesus was leaving or exiting planet Earth, he said, I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send you another comforter. Somebody say, another comforter. Whenever you see the word another, it's indicating to you that they were experiencing comfort from someone else at that time. So Jesus at that time was their comforter. But when he ascended to the Father and he prayed, the Father released the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, amen, became the comforter for all of mankind who would believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we found out that the comforter is described in six different personality traits in the New Covenant or in the Amplified Bible, which is counselor. Somebody say counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. The Spirit of God is on the inside of you to help you conquer in every one of these areas. Come on, somebody say amen to this. We're going to teach you something tonight. So now that the Holy Spirit is our comforter or our life coach, every intricate, detailed part of our lives, our marriages, somebody say our marriages, if we're not married, our single lifestyles, the Spirit of God is concerned about us being single. The Spirit of God is concerned about our children. The Holy Spirit is concerned about our finances. The Holy Spirit is concerned about our health. Every intricate, detailed part of our life, our marriages, amen? Every part of us, he's concerned about. There's nothing in your life that is exempt from the Holy Spirit's comfort or concern. Are you catching what I'm saying tonight? That means whatever it is that you may be going through, you have an advantage over someone else who does not know Christ. Because you know Christ, you have an advantage. Your advantage is this right here, that you are a partner together with the Holy Spirit. He is your problem solver. Hear what I'm saying here? So there's no problem that you're going through that the Holy Spirit won't bring comfort in that problem, because he is your comforter. So there's nothing too hard for God. Come on, say that. Say, there's nothing too hard for God. See, the world would have you to believe that your problem is happening, amen, because of you. And the devil would have you to believe that the thing that you're going through, God is punishing you for that. But he couldn't be your comforter and your punisher simultaneously. Just like God can't be life and death simultaneously. He can't be love and hate simultaneously. So you're going to have to get on God's side concerning your thinking and your concept of God, because God knows exactly where you and I are, and he's not afraid of our problems. He's not afraid of our setbacks. He's not afraid of the slow processes of life, or the delays, or those hiccups, or those roadblocks, or those potholes in our personal life. The Holy Spirit is there to bring comfort in every area of our life. Well, why don't we experience his comfort? Why? This is why. And I'll say it again, and I'll say it every time I teach about this message. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune Godhead, is the most neglected person in the Godhead. We often pray to God the Father. We often thank and praise the Lord Jesus, but we don't realize that Jesus died. He had his dispensation where he walked with mankind as a man, as he did. And then he sent another comforter. So just like Jesus, come here, Carlos, come here for a minute. Just come on up. Give Carlos a hand clap. Just like Jesus, Carlos is Jesus, or Carlos is Carlos. And I'm going to imitate Jesus. And wherever Carlos is going, Jesus was with him. Amen. Jesus, every time when they were in the storm, watch this right here. When they were in the storm, Jesus was in the bow of the boat, sleeping with his head on the pillow, the scripture says. It literally says a pillow. Amen. He was resting while they were in the storm. And when they came screaming and said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? You know, Master, don't you care that we're going through this problem? Don't you care? Don't you see what I'm going through? And guess what? Jesus stepped up, and what Jesus did is he spoke to the storm. He commanded, he rebuked the storm and commanded it to have peace. Amen. In every situation in the disciples' life, Jesus brought a solution. Come on, somebody say amen to this. When they were out there in the desert place and there was no food to feed the people, and only one lad had 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus said, take what you got and I need you to bring it here to me. See, sometimes in your life it looks like you only have something that's simple or minute, but what you have, even though it's small and minute, when you put it over in the hands of the Lord, amen, something small with God becomes great. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? So just like Jesus was the comforter with the disciples, we got to get our mindset changed and start understanding that that same comfort comes from the person of the Holy Spirit that is in us and with us right now. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Just like I'm walking with Carlos, I am close to Carlos. I am not as close to Carlos right now as Holy Ghost is to him. The Holy Spirit is not only with him, he is in him. Guess what? I'm big and I'm strong and I'm a good-looking pastor. I'm his friend. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Have I been there for you, Carlos?
Yes, sir.
Last couple years of your life, I tried to be there, right?
Yes.
Amen. I've tried to help, right? And
yes,
you
sir.
Helped me, right?
Yes,
we've been good friends, right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. But I can't be a friend to Carlos like Holy Spirit can.
Amen.
I can't meet the needs of Carlos' life like Holy Spirit can. So you and I have to develop a mindset and a concept that he's in us. Come on, somebody say, he's in me.
Amen.
And he's with me. Come on, get the Lord a hand clap. Go ahead. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Look at that right there. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I found out tonight I am a partner with the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9 says, God is faithful. Tell your neighbor, say, God is faithful. By whom you were called unto the fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. The word fellowship is the same Greek word koinonia used for the word communion in 2 Corinthians 13 and 14. You and I were called unto the fellowship, or the intimate friendship. Somebody say intimate friendship. The participation. Come on. And the partnership of the Holy Spirit. You and I were called into that. We were summoned into that. Amen. Now, I gave an example. If you were summoned to go to court, or you were subpoenaed to go to court, this is the same mindset you have to have right here. You were summoned into this partnership with God Almighty to be in union with the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That means whatever it is that you're going through, he's in it with you. Do you know when you're crying and you're shedding? I'm trying to help somebody tonight. When you're crying and you're shedding tears and people have hurt you and situations and circumstances happen in your life, guess what? We have the tendency to, number one, start blaming people and blame shifting. Don't we do that, y'all? Amen. And we have the tendency to think that we're alone and we're all by ourselves and nobody understands my problems. Amen. I need to sit down and talk to somebody and let them know my problems, because guess what? My problems, I believe my problems is bigger than everybody else's problems. And that's what we think. We think that everybody else's problems ain't like our problems. But it's because we are the one that is in that situation. But you need to understand something. If God be for you, who can be against you? It doesn't matter who it is. If God is for you, who can be against you? Well, is God for you? Yes, he is. He's not even just for you. He's with you. And he's not even just with you. He's in you. When you cry, he's with you. I'm trying to help somebody tonight. When you're happy, he's with you. When somebody cuss you out, he's with you. When you cuss somebody out, he's with you. Amen. When you're angry, he's with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every single intricate detail part of your life, he's with you. Come on, somebody say, God is with me. Trying to help somebody tonight. See, the enemy wants you to think, amen, that God is with you based upon your actions. Listen, if God's being with you was based upon your actions, he would not be described as love in the Bible, because the word agape love is unconditional. So he's with you unconditionally. I'm trying to help somebody tonight, because see, what that does is when you realize that somebody's going to walk with you when you kick them, somebody's going to walk with you when you love them, somebody's going to walk with you when you hate them, somebody's going to walk with you when you talk about them, somebody's going to walk with you, amen, when you're faithful, somebody's going to walk with you whether you're unfaithful. When you understand that, what does that do to you? Pretty soon you get to the place where you realize this person unconditionally loves me. And that love begins to rub off on you, because you already know what kind of a heathen you were. Come on, somebody say amen. See, Jesus said, with loving kindness, the word says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Amen. And see, the Spirit of God, he's so big that your little problems and your little nature of faults and fault finding and things that we go through doesn't harm him. We don't scare the Spirit of God. We don't scare God with our little problems. Can y'all get that right there? Our little problems don't scare him. Amen. That's some good teaching right there. Because what happened when you get this in your spirit is that it'll start building confidence in your inner man concerning your relationship with God. You'll start going to prayer even when you miss it. You'll come through the church doors even when you've blown it. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? You got to have a confidence in you that God loves you no matter what. Are you hearing this right here? How many got kids? Raise your hand. How many got kids? Don't your kids act like a butthead, knucklehead sometime? I'm just being real. I got to be me. Don't they just get on your nerves sometime? You know what I mean? I told you how I was raised as far as whooping kids and stuff like that. You know, my mom and them whooped me with extension cords and, amen, if there was a 2x4 or something around there, I caught it. Cups fly through the... Come on, somebody say amen. You know what I mean? It wasn't right, but that's the way they knew how to do it. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. So when I started whooping my kids, you know what I mean? I didn't want to throw cups and stuff at them, you know what I mean? But, you know, if they said something out their mouth, instead of putting soap in their mouth, I want to backhand them. Pow, smack them in the mouth. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But my wife, she wasn't feeling that. Amen. You know what I mean? But no matter what my children done wrong, I still love them. You hear what I'm saying? It's amazing how some mamas can have sons and they can kill the whole neighborhood, but that's still my baby. That's how God think about you. I'm trying to sink something in your spirit tonight, Because once you get this in your spirit right here, because I'm talking about something here tonight, and we're going to be finished in a minute, but I'm talking about something. Once you get this in your spirit, guess what? The devil will never keep you from the house of God. Because you know what? Most people don't come to church and don't come to the house of God because maybe they blew it that week. Maybe for 2 weeks, you know, I was doing good. I was coming. I was praying. I was faithful. I was giving. I was reading my Bible. And all of a sudden, bam, something hit me and it threw me back. You know, somebody called me, said some old crazy stuff to me, and I pulled out my Jackie Chan. Ha, ha, ha. You know what I mean? And the next thing you know, the devil said, you can't go to church because look what you did. See, that's the same thing happened with Adam. I was telling somebody the other day something real powerful. Do you know what? The fall of man didn't necessarily happen because of sin. It happened because of irresponsibility. Hear what I'm about to say here. Adam, God went to him and said, Adam, where art thou? Now, God knew where Adam was. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. He knows everything. You see what I mean? But he was holding Adam accountable. He said, Adam, why did you do what you do? I'm paraphrasing. Adam said, you know what, God? He said, the woman that you gave me, she made me do it. So what did Adam do? Adam not only blamed the woman, but he blamed God. But what would have happened if Adam would say, you know what, Father, I'm so sorry. I missed the mark. You told me not to do that. And guess what? You know what I mean? I did it anyhow. I'm sorry. I repent. I changed my thinking. Forgive me. If he would forgive us now in a person of Jesus Christ, would he would have forgiven him? This is powerful right here. You hear what I'm saying? So what the devil does is that, here's what Adam did. Instead of running to the presence of God, Adam hid from the presence of the Lord. He said, I saw myself and I was naked and I was ashamed. And see, a lot of times we won't run to God's presence. You know, I don't even know how I get to this, but the Spirit of God is just leading me to do this. A lot of times we won't run to God's presence because we see ourselves that we're naked and we're ashamed. Guilt, condemnation. Come on, somebody say amen. You know what I mean? But I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying to challenge you tonight that no matter what you go through, no matter what you've been through, run to the Father. Run to him. I'm talking about run to his presence. I'm going to give you a scripture in a minute. Run to him. Run to him when times are good. Run to him when times are bad. Run to him. Don't run from him. Don't run from him. You hear what I'm saying? Do you know when you run to him, you find his grace that will help you in your weakness? But when you run from him, you reject the very source of your help. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Come on, somebody say amen. Here we go. Here we go. So far, we've saw the Spirit of God as the Spirit that produces sonship. Tell your neighbors and neighbor, the Holy Spirit that's in me, that is with me, he is the Spirit that produces sonship. That means, watch this, that means the Spirit of God is in you to take you from an infant stage, past the childhood stage, past the adolescent stage, into full maturity. He wants you to be a son of God. That's his assignment. The Holy Spirit wants to produce sonship in you. Romans chapter 8, verse 13 through 16. Amen. The second place that we saw that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Somebody say, he's the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of God is with us. He abides with us in everything. But the Holy Spirit is endeavoring to lead us. John 14 and 15, all the way down. He wants to lead us and guide us and direct us into all truth. Amen. The things that are error in our life, or things that are twisted in our life, things that are perverse. The word perverse means to be twisted. Things that are out of order. Amen. The Spirit of God wants to get us in line with God's word and lead us into truth. And we found out that God's word is truth. John 17 and 17. Somebody say this. Say, the Holy Spirit that is in me, who abides in me, who is with me, he is the Spirit of truth. And he is leading me into truth concerning every area of my life. That's some powerful stuff right there. Amen. There is, let me tell you something, there is a present truth pertaining to you and every individual circumstance of your life. There is a right now present truth in God's word. I don't care what it is. If it's you raising your kids by yourself, there is a present truth that the Holy Spirit will lead you into. If it's you trying to discover who's going to be your mate for the rest of your life, the Holy Spirit will lead you into that present truth. If you will allow him, and you will not run from him, but run to him. I've discovered, and I told one of our blessed women of God in this ministry, that the most powerful demonic spirit, hallelujah, that I've had to conquer in my 20 years of being born again is the spirit of condemnation. This has been the number one. Now, I got it under my feet now, not by my own power, but by the power of the word. Because what I had to do is I had to find myself in the word and consistently get that word in me until that mindset was driven out of me. But most people, I found this out about people, and I'm helping you out. Most people, like when it comes to church or when it comes to the things of God, most people run from God when they do wrong rather than running to God. Do you know that God knew you were going to do wrong before you did wrong? Did you know that? And it didn't scare God? Did you know that? Amen. You know when you get a flare-up in the attitude and have anger problems, you know what I mean? You're ready to box everybody. Do you know God already know it before it happens? Come on, somebody say amen. God is not like, wow, I can't believe they done that. No, he knows you. Matter of fact, Jesus said this right here. He knew what was in man. And the Apostle Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So within that sinful nature that we are conforming into the image of God, there's some things that need to be distinguished and separated that the Spirit of God is working on. Amen. And you just need to know in your process of your relationship with him that he's with you. He's in you. So he was the spirit that produces sonship. Somebody say, he's producing sonship. And he's also the spirit of truth. Somebody say, the spirit of truth. Tonight, I want you to dig deep with me for the next 6 minutes. The Holy Spirit is also the spirit of grace and of supplication. Turn to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Brother Jason, if you can follow me, because I'm going to kind of move so I can go ahead and get this concentrated orange juice out so everybody can drink it and go home and put some water in and break it down. Is that all right? Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. The writer says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. Somebody say, the spirit of grace and of supplication. Come on, say that again with me. That was kind of weak. Say, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of grace and of supplication. Now, the Message Bible says it like this. I will pour a spirit of grace and prayer over them. So the word supplication is translated prayer. It's different type of prayer. Is it a prayer of petition, the prayer of praise, prayer of worship? But here, this is speaking of the prayer of petition for you or for someone else. He said, I will pour the spirit of grace and of prayer upon them. So in order to better understand this, we will show that the Holy Spirit is the spirit that imparts grace. Not just the spirit of grace, but he's the spirit that imparts grace. Okay? Now go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Turn there. Hebrews 10, verse 29. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Somebody say, he's the Spirit who imparts grace. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Last night, the pastor there, one of the preachers there was preaching, and he said, when you fall down, you just rear back and you bounce back up again. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, I want you to look at this scripture here with me. We're going to read verse 28 and 29. It says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. 29, of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done what? Despite unto who? The Spirit of grace. Say, neighbor, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. Now, Jason, could you do me a favor? Can you pop up the amplified version of that right there? Hebrews 10 and 29. Pop that up there. Somebody say, he's the spirit of grace. Amen. I want you to see it for yourself. It's coming up there. Amen. I can just quote it, but I want you to see it for yourself. Is it coming up, Jason? A little bit? Praise the Lord. Somebody say, he's the Spirit of grace. The Amplified Bible says he's the Spirit who imparts grace. Somebody say, he imparts grace. And the word grace is translated the unmerited favor of God. So the Holy Spirit here is spoken of as the one who imparts grace. Now, in order for us to understand grace, amen, skip that one and go to James chapter 4, verse 6. Bring it up in the Amplified Bible, James 4 and 6. In order for us to understand grace, I want you to turn to James chapter 4 and verse 6. And I'm going to read the King James while he's popping up the Amplified version. James chapter 4 and verse 6. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. We're going to put it back in your memory again. Say, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. He's the Spirit who imparts grace. Now, what I'm going to bring out here just to help you over the next couple minutes is that the grace of God is the power of God. We got it up there? Amen. Now watch this right here. The King James Bible says here, it says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. But look what the Amplified Bible says. He gives us more and more grace. And then in parentheses, we see what grace is. What is grace? Power of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. To meet this evil tendency and all others fully. That means whatever weakness you're going through, whatever evil tendency it is that you have, the power of God or the Spirit who imparts grace, the Holy Spirit gives you ability to overcome it. You see that right there? That is why he says God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but he gives grace how often? Continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. Now I want you to raise your hand right now and say, Lord Jesus, I'm confessing, I am humble enough to receive your grace. Now, I want you to think about something right now before we move on, okay? Because he's the Spirit who imparts grace. Zechariah 12 and 10 said he's the Spirit of grace and of prayer. So he is the Spirit who imparts grace to help us pray. I'm trying to show you something here. Because every failure we have in life, I'm walking somewhere, is a prayer failure. That's why we emphasize prayer so much in this church, because every failure is a prayer failure. Because when we submit and we are humble enough to receive his grace, he enables us to pray. What happens when we pray? Now, I want you to turn to James chapter 5. Just flip over one. James chapter 5. I'm going to show you something right here. You ready? Look at verse 14. Look at verse 13. You ready? It says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Now, this is powerful. He's identifying with your problem. If anybody is afflicted, let him do what? He didn't say, is anybody afflicted? Oh, my God, I'm sorry you're going through that. No. He didn't say start weeping and complaining about what it is that you're going through. He said, if you're afflicted, do what? He said, is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Watch this, verse 6. Is any sick among you? Any sick among you? Any what? Watch this. Let him call for the elders of the church. The word elder could be translated presbyter, pastors, leaders, governors. Watch this right here. Let them pray over him, anointing him with what? In the name of who? Kurios. The word kurios means supreme in authority. That means Jesus has authority that is supreme, that is above whatever it is that you may be going through. That's why he said, if you're sick, let's not complain about it. Let's not talk about it. But let's start calling for those who are elders in the church. Let them anoint you with oil and then pray the prayer of faith. Watch this right here. And it says, and the prayer of faith shall do what? Save the sick. And the Lord shall do what? And if he have committed what? They shall be what? This is powerful. Look at the result of prayer. But watch this right here. It's the Holy Spirit that imparts grace that help you and I pray. You see that right there? When we pray, we're releasing some power here. Now, I want you to see this right here. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and do what? One for another. That you may be what? The effectual. Somebody say effectual. fervent. What? What comes after that? Of a righteous man availeth much. Now, as I begin to study the word of God, I look at words and I start saying, okay, God, why did you put that word righteous in there? Because why didn't it just say the effectual, fervent prayer of a man of God would avail much? Because you have to be righteousness conscious in order to attract God's power to you. And it's a long teaching, but I'm trying to show you this right here. Regardless of what it is that you're going through, you see what I'm saying? See, when I miss the mark, you know what I do? I say I'm the righteousness of God. Now, I'm not saying I'm out there whoremongering or doing wrong stuff or doing evil stuff, but you know what I do? If I miss, say I miss prayer, and the devil tries to kick my butt in the head because I miss prayer, because, you know, us pastors, you know, I hold myself at a high standard concerning my relationship with God. And sometimes I miss it, amen? But when I was younger and I knew I was developing to be a man of God, and you start reading all them pastoral scriptures and understanding you were responsible to feed the flock and do all this stuff like that, if I missed my time in the Word, I would condemn myself. But now I don't do that, because you know what I do? Immediately I opened up my mouth, and this is what I say, Sister Brenda. I say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to allow the enemy to invade my thinking and make me think low of myself. You need to go back and you need to get a message that I taught a year or so ago called The Fall of Man. The Fall of Man. Somebody say The Fall of Man. Because when Satan came to Jesus, he asked him, he said, if you will bow down. One translation said, if you will fall down. He wanted Jesus to fall down in his level of thinking. Now watch this right here. When you fall from a righteousness consciousness, every time something happens in your life, you're going to be self-condemning. Your conscience is going to condemn you, and your faith won't work. It'll be crippled. You hear what I'm saying? Your faith won't work. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm finishing up right here. Watch this right here. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I don't know if we have time to put that up on the Amplified version, but I'm going to tell you what the Amplified version says. It says the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. So when you and I pray, doesn't matter how you feel about what you're praying, doesn't matter if you're praying out of desperation or whatever the case may be, when you open up your mouth and you start to declare God's word, not based upon how you feel, power is released. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because a lot of us will think, oh, the power of God was in the building when we feel God's presence. But I'm telling you something right now. I'm going to give you one last scripture. One last scripture. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. One last scripture and then we're done. I'm telling you, the minute you open up your mouth and you say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you have entered into the throne room of God. You have entered in and you have access all that you need as far as God's grace, God's favor. You hear what I'm saying? And when you start praying, you are releasing power. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What power are you releasing? You're releasing divine assistance. See, God is with you. That means when you're going through, don't complain about your power. Because when you complain, you attract demonic resistance. But when you pray, you release Holy Ghost assistance. Are you seeing that right there? I'm trying to show you something. Because the devil will try to make you think that based upon your feelings, there's no power going out there. But now I got a confession. I say Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 every day. I will not allow any corrupt thing to proceed out of my mouth. Only that which is edifying, that it might minister grace. That means every time I speak, I'm releasing grace. What is grace? The power of the Holy Ghost. Last scripture, Hebrews. Somebody say Hebrews chapter 4. Tell your neighbor, say, he's the spirit of grace and of prayer. I'm ending right here, and we can go home, y'all. Am I a couple minutes late? Okay, I'm ending right here. Hebrews chapter 4. You ready? Verse 14, 15, and 16. Jason, if you can get that one in the Amplified Bible up there, try to get that one up there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, 15, and 16. You ready? It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. This is speaking of Jesus. That has passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, he's my great high priest. Look what it says here. It said, let us hold fast to our profession. The word profession is the Greek word homologio. It's the same word confession. Somebody say confession. He said, hold fast to it. That means keep it. What is your confession? What are you allowing to come out your mouth? Because remember, the grace of God or the power of God is released by your words. Watch this right here. By your words. Faith in God's word. When you take God's word, listen, this is powerful right here. When I go through a financial crisis or something in my life, amen, you know what I mean? I've learned not to speak in agreement with the circumstance. I've fortified myself. I can rattle them off right now. I say, Father, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Father, your word says in Jesus' mighty name that wealth and riches are in my house. Father, your word says that you will supply all my need according to your riches and glory by the anointed one, Jesus. I believe I receive supernatural supply. Father, your word says that you minister seed to the sower, bread to the eater, multiply my seed sown. Father, I get confident. I've sown seed. Lord, I've sown seed. I don't care what, if Tuda, I've sown seed in Jesus' name. And Lord, I believe I receive it right now. I did my part of the covenant. Now you got to do your part of the covenant. Now you can't talk to God like that. Oh, yes, you can. He said in Jeremiah, come, let us reason together. You got to catch what I'm saying. Come, let us reason together. Because see, he wants you to see, he wants you to realize that you are a partner together with him. Jesus said it like this. Jesus said it so powerful. Listen to this, Scotty. I'm going to help you today. You hear me? I'm going to help you today. Jesus went up to Lazarus. Amen. And then Mary and Martha was there, and it was like, oh my God, if you would have been here, you could have raised him up, but I know you'll raise him up at the last day. And the Bible said Jesus wept. And a lot of commentaries believe that Jesus wept because he loved Lazarus, amen? And he did love Lazarus. But Jesus didn't weep because of his love for Lazarus. He wept because of their unbelief. You must not know who I am. I am the resurrection and the life. He can stay in that grave 15 days, and I'll still raise him up. Matter of fact, he was in there almost 4 days, and they said his body stinketh. Don't make no never mind. When it comes to Jesus, it don't matter how bad your problems stink. You got to catch what I'm saying here. And we be having some stinking problems, and most of our stinking problems are a result of our stinking thinking. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? So here's the antidote. Somebody say, here's the antidote. Jesus got cocky with it. He said, Father, he said, I'm not doing this because I'm doing it to basically get your attention. He said, you always hear when I pray. He said, but I'm praying this so that they might know. Lazarus, come forth. And he came out of the tomb bound. And he said, get him unraveled and get him fixed. Now, I'm trying to show you something right here. Jesus had such a confidence in his fellowship and relationship with God, the Holy Ghost, God the Father, that whatever he asked, he was confident. You catch what I'm saying? He was cocky about it. They brought a man down through the roof. Somebody say Jesus was cocky. Brought him down through the roof, and Jesus standing there probably eating a hot dog like Pastor Claude. They chilling, eating on a hot dog, and somebody come down through the roof, and he's like, wow, look at that man. Look at that faith. You know, there was no place to get inside. The doors, the front door, the black doors all blocked up with all these people in here, and I'm trying to eat my hot dog and my Doritos. You know what I mean? And then guess what? They come down through the roof. Somebody said they come through the roof. And the Bible said, and Jesus saw their faith. And when he saw their faith, here's how Jesus responded. He said, son, your sins have been forgiven. We're talking about Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you what I told my son Jason the other day. We look at Jesus as the Son of God from 2,000 years of teaching, telling us he was the Son of God. But you have to remember that Jesus played catch in the backyard with his first cousin, John the Baptist. That's why John, when he went to prison, he doubted and said, go and ask him, are you the one or should we look for another? I'm trying to paint a picture to you. See, Jesus was over their house fixing their cabinets with his daddy. Jesus was in the backyard playing basketball with him. I'm just paraphrasing. Hear what I'm saying. Don't take what I'm saying as word is bond. But Jesus was right there with the people. And all of a sudden, one day he stand up in front of them and say, today, I'm the Son of God. This scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. All of a sudden, the people looking at him, the Bible said they was astonished at his speech. And then all of a sudden, everybody in the room got angry. And they started talking, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't his brothers and his sisters around here? But Jesus got to a place where he began to see himself in the word. And all of a sudden, that confidence developed that cockiness in him. So when he said, son, your sins are forgiven, the doctors of the law, they used to walk around with boxes on their head where they can pull out scriptures in order to memorize them. So they said, oh, this ain't in the law. No man has power to forgive sins. And Jesus said, which one do you want me to do? Forgive his sins or tell him take up his bed and walk? Now, the man was paralyzed. He said, but that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth. He said, get up and take your bed. It don't matter how stinking our problem is, God is with us. God is in us. And when you develop that confidence in him, what happens is this right here, that your relationship with God will begin to get cocky. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You'll start walking with God. You'll start understanding you're a friend of God. It's not disrespecting or dishonoring him, but you get to the place where you realize that the word says, when I pray, I release power, so I just believe I receive it. In Jesus' mighty name. You listen to Kenneth Copeland and them guys are cocky. They talk like they know what they're talking about. You know why? Because he owned his own water plants. He owned, you got to hear what I'm saying. Because he went from nothing to what he is right now by the word of God. And by faith, and his confidence has been developed over the last 40, 50 years of ministry. And now you can walk up to him, say whatever you want to say. He don't care because he know that he know his God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And your pastor getting that way too. Last scripture, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing that we have a great high priest, let us hold fast to our profession. Somebody say, hold fast. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. It's up there. That's 14. What about 15? Can we get 15 and amplified? For we do not have a high priest who is unable to what? Understand and what? Sympathize and have a shared feeling with our what? And infirmities, watch this, and liabilities to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Now, how many respects was he tempted in? All. Glory to God. Now, look at the last verse right here. He's going to tell you why he walked in the power of God. This is the last scripture right here. Tell your neighbor, say, Holy Ghost, I see you. You are the spirit of grace, the spirit who imparts grace, and you are the spirit of prayer. So watch this. Say, as you enable me, by your grace, I'm going to pray. I'm going to release words of faith. And the divine power of God is released when I speak. Now watch this right here. Verse 16. You got it up there? Whoo! Let us then what? Come on now. Now watch this. Not based upon circumstance. Hear what I'm saying? Not based upon situation. Y'all hear me, Brenda? Not based upon condition. Let us then what? And what? Confidently. Watch that right there. And what? Draw near to the throne of grace. Don't run from the grace. Run to the grace. The throne of God's unmerited favor to us who? That we may receive what? You know what mercy is? You don't deserve it. Just say that. I don't deserve it. Mercy is God acting when you don't deserve it. Watch this right here. Mercy for our what? Failures. And find what? Grace to do what? My God. Watch this. Every time I told my son Jason again, every time I say, God help me, the Holy Ghost tell me, go pray. I'm just telling you, every time I say, God help me, because I realize that when I pray, I release his power. And I got to get my mind to line up with what his word says, Cornelius, so that when I'm going through the process of allowing the power to move, that I'm not sitting back doubting what God's word says. Is that some good teaching tonight? Let's finish it up. Grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. Come on, somebody get a Lord a hand clap tonight. I tell you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I declare that every member of this ministry is going to walk in confidence. They're going to be fearless. They're going to be bold concerning their relationship with God Almighty. This is what the devil don't want. This is why I wanted to take my time and bring it out tonight, because he don't want you to be confident, Scotty. You hear what I'm saying? He don't want you to be fearless. He don't want you to be bold in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to run from the grace. But God wants you to run to the grace. Irregardless is not a word. Regardless of what you are going through, run to God. Run to God. Because I'm telling you, you can't help yourself by yourself anyhow. Haven't you figured that out already? All the help, self-help programs, all the books you read. You know what? Some people read books and they read them and read them and read them. They must got some kind of physical ability to not comprehend, because you don't see people acting on what they read. But when you step into the grace of God, now you have divine influence. to help you in every weakness, every failure, every evil tendency. That's yours. It's accessible to you as a kingdom citizen in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. We're going to end now tonight in Jesus' name. I know I'm about 15 minutes late, but amen. Praise the Lord.